Boker Tov, 29 days since Sfirat HaOmer. Today's daf is Chof Aleph, and we left yesterday off on Chof Amid Beis. We got up to, I think, Velo B'Cholach, am I right?
Yes.
Omar Shmuel, what exactly is this Cholach? Sha'altinu l'chol nechusin yama. I asked all of these, the people who go overseas and they're very familiar with what's going on all around the world, and they all told me Kulcha Shmei, that the name of this Cholach is indeed popularly Cholach, Kulcha, which is the Aramaic, obvious equivalent of Cholach. It doesn't help us too much. Rav Yitzchak Bar Zeira says it's Gushkara. Now Gushkara is basically the sense of leftovers. We use the same word for in bread, right? So we'll call the same thing dark bread or whole wheat bread, Gushkara bread, which means that it's of some type of material that apparently is the psolet of that material. It still doesn't help us. But Ravin Vabai Havika Yosef Kameda Ravana, they were sitting in front of Ravana Nechemia, who was the brother of the Rish Galusa, and the Chazid Avilovish Matachsa. They saw that he was wearing a beged that was made out of this material. Omale Ravin Labai Hanu Cholach. That's the Cholach that they talk about. That's his suit. That's the Cholach that's not in the Mishnah. Omar Lay, they said, oh, that? Ana Shira Parnada Karinimai. We call that basically fine silk. How could that be? Mesve Hashiroin Vakoloch. Wait a minute. Here it lists, he's calling it Shira Parnada. Shiroin Vakoloch. Sounds like they're two different things. And the Siriki. Now, if that's the case, things are beginning to get clear. Because then the Gushkira would be referring to a psolet of silk. Shirayin are silk. Gushkara would therefore be spun silk. Now, this normal silk is made out of unraveling the cocoon carefully. You have long strands. But if the larva eats through the cocoon, then you can't unravel anymore. You just get little pieces that are broken. But you could still spin the thread. It's a low quality silk. So we would call it then Gushkira, which would be the crummy, so to speak, silk. And that's why we use it for bread as well. So the problem is, of course, he was calling it fine silk in his terms, that it was called Shirayin. Shirayin is really the full silk. The Sarikin is Sarikin is used for Saruk, is a lotion of combed out. Difficult to believe that it means combed out silk, but it could be the equivalent of a combed out. In other words, it's the long, so it depends how you throw silk. You can either twist it, or you can turn it in different directions as you pull it out. You create a different sheen on it. And the shiroin is probably the equivalent of that. It's the equivalent of another fiber. It would be literally, you would take a comb and comb it out. The silk is very, very fine. So, but certainly when Abaye is saying that that's called Shira Parnada, that would be called the Kolok, doesn't really make sense, does it? All of them are Chayiv and Tzitzis. Of course, this is not going according to Man Yomer, who says the only begotten that are Chayiv and Tzitzis is Etzemu Pishtim. So anyway, to Yufta, this seems to show that they can't possibly be Shirai. Or you could say, well, maybe Shira Lachud and Shira Parnada Lachud. It could be that it is Shirayin, but not normal Shirayin. In other words, Parnada, Shirayin are actually spun silk. So it's like a trade name, which is a lower quality silk, but in his terms, in a bias town, that's what they used to call it, is Shira Parnada. But in any event, we're talking about over here something that's made from silk, probably what we would call spun silk. And from that, you can't make a petila. We'll see later on that all of these petilot, although they'll burn, they won't burn cleanly. There's a lot of sputtering. They don't. They're not actually smooth all the way down. And therefore, you never know how the oil is going to flow in them. They're not. They don't flow continuously. And so, because of that, the chachomim asked it. We'll see. We'll discuss particularly one that we brought up yesterday, the Rambam's approach that it might go out. But that has all types of implications later on the sugya. We'll see. The next case that we had, we said lo b'cholach, lo b'ptilat ha'idan. Lo b'ptilat ha'idan. What exactly ptilat ha'idan? Ptilat ha'idan is achvena. Now achvena, of course, is the arava. The arava is a piece of wood. It's not something that you can burn. And the next story explains what it's really referring to. The Ravin and Abai have a kazlat, the pakta de tamrurita. Walking through the hidden valley one day were Ravin and Abai. Now, Chazinul Hanu Arvata, they saw these aravot, and Ravin said to Abai, I know Yidan. That's the Yidan that's done in our Mishnah. Omar lay, Abai said, how could that be Yidan? He hates the amu. That's nothing but a piece of wood. Kolaf. So he took off the bark, the achvale amronita, the beni beni, and he showed him the woolly substance between the bark and the wood. And when it's referring to making a ptila, it means to turn that into a ptila by spinning it. Veloba ptilat hamidbar. What is that referring to? It's referring to shavra. Shavra is a stringy plant that grows along one of those desert water-seeking plants. And you can make, apparently, a poor ptila out of it. Velo b'yirokash al pnei ha-mayim. Mayhi, what exactly is the yirokash al pnei ha-mayim? I mean, surely you don't mean uchmeta d'charitze. Uchmeta d'charitze, basically, algae mats that grow on the charitze are places that are just standing water. The water stands a long time, so it forms this very thin layer of algae, but actually if you try to make a ptila of it, as the Gemara says, ifruchim afarchim, it simply breaks up to little pieces. How can you possibly make a ptila on it logistically? Now, Lomar of Papa, when it says yirokash al pnei ha-mayim, it doesn't mean just floating on top of standing waters. It means uchmeta di'arba, means the things that grow off the sides of boats that are staying in one place for a long time, which are long and mossy. And those, in fact, can be turned into ptila. Tana, hosif aleim shal tzemer v'shal se'ar. In the Braita, it says other things that you mustn't light with would include wool or hair. So why does our Tana, that's sort of the most common thing. I mean, the Tana lists all kinds of strange things. Why doesn't he talk about those two? But Tana didan. Tana says, I mean, there's no point in even mentioning it, because I mean, you may make it into a ptila and says it'll look like a ptila, but it doesn't burn at all. Semer mikvatskov. Try to light semer, all it does is ball up. And sar is ruchim efer. Try to light sar, and all it does is singe. It doesn't burn. So what's the point of listing in the Mishnah something which anyway is not a ptila? We're interested in listing things that can be used as a ptila. You can light that. And they simply don't light well enough for us to use for the Ner Shabbat, either because we're choshish for Hataya, or we're choshish because of the Shalom Bayit issue. You'll end up being in a dark house for Shabbos. Velo b'zefet. What exactly is zefet? Zefet is zifta. So that's the, how did I translate that in the, you have the English there?
Or, zefet.
No, pitch of something, but there's a I use the word zefet. Oh, come on.
And we make it on the other side.
It's not tar. Tar is a deposit. This is pitch. It comes from trees. This is pitch. But when basically what happens is we have refined pitch. The end of the dripping of pitch is watery, but it's highly flammable. There's a special word for it.
It comes with petroleum.
A resin.
No, this is a tree resin. It's used in lamp oil, right? I can't think of the word.
Kerosene?
No. Kerosene is, again, is petrodermis. So, I mean, the Gemara talks about kerosene later.
A resin
from a tree is a zephyr. But anyway, this is the zifta would be the clear stuff. Shava is kiruta, and that's the actual raw wax in the hive. So, Tana, Adkan Pasuk Ptilot. And the Braita points out that up until the word Zefet, it's been talking about the wicks, but Mikan Ve'elach Psur Shmanim. from this point on, we're talking about fuels. Which isn't that rather obvious, I mean, from the simple logistics of it. Pshita, how could we have thought otherwise? Well, now, wait a minute. The shava, wax, you could easily have thought, is talking about a petiole, in the sense of what we call a wax candle. A wax candle doesn't have a fuel in the sense of a renewable, refillable fuel. So I might think that maybe even as a petila, meaning even as a wax candle, which is a petila impregnated with wax, essentially is what we do. We add wax around it that melts and actually can burn in the petila. I might think that an impregnated wax petila is also an usur. Therefore, we have to distinguish between the first grouping, which is the grouping of psul tefilot, and the second grouping, which is only a psul of fuel. When it comes to using it as a petila, there'd be no problem. So therefore, Shabbat strichale ma'od etemer lepetilot nami lochazia, k'mash malon, that as a petila, it would be okay. Omer Rabbi Bar Ovin itrana itran, we use itran, that's the psult of the zifta. Here they must explain what's itran. That's what I'm talking about, is the very clear stuff.
Itran is the residue.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Look at the footnotes.
I don't understand why. But I mean, all you have to do is research it for 10 minutes, for heaven's sakes. What's going on here?
Take the books or which word do you want? You want to guess the word itran?
Yeah, the English word for itran, which is used for lamp oil. It's not dark. It is a zephyr itself is dark. Itran is clear. So itran is the psult of the zifta. After the resin runs out, as Rashi says, you get an oily type residue, which is clear, and that's called itra. Shava, psulta de duvsha. And the shava is what's left after you empty a hive. Now, in all the other cases, we said, what are these things? And obviously, these words are commonly known. What is the point? Mamayna Kamina, what's the point of explaining this to me?
I think they're putting shiva, paraffin oil.
Paraffin oil.
Paraffin oil.
Yeah, but that's not, that doesn't come from trees.
Paraffin is wax.
Lamai nafkamina, lemeka kolamemka. The nafkamina over here is whether somebody can demand, if you sold him dupsha, if you sold him rather shava, can he demand that it be refined wax so that you've melted it down and gotten rid of all the residue in it, so it's pure now. Kamash malan, that no, psulta de duvsha is what's referred to as shava, even if there is a mecha for memka. And that's the most that he could demand to get. Tana rabbanan, kol elu sha'amru, ein madakim behem shabbat, even though we said you can't light them, whether it's in terms of the fuel or it's in terms of the wicks, throw them all together in a pot and burn them. Osin mehem edura. Certainly, if you're talking about something that's a lot of heat, we have no chashash. You want to make a midura on Shabbos, whether it's in your fireplace or in a lamp. I mean, that's the ben litchamim kinegda, ben lishtamish l'ora, ben agabe karka, ben agabe kira. Some have the lashon ben agabe menorah. It's all fine. All the things we're talking about is to have a lamp. A lamp has a single petila, has fuel in it, and we need to be worried about the level of heat that's going to be generated by this petila that allows the lamp to burn continuously. And because of that, we answered it. It's not that we answered these substances on Shabbos. As long as there's no chashash, it'll go out, it's fine.
The nair means for bracha, for the one you make for the brachos. Brachos of
Neshach. No, not necessarily.
So what's
because this would be usur on any nair, because of the shemayata gezerah.
That's it.
In other words, if this is your only nair, even if this is not your, in terms of mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, then you're going to... We spoke about this yesterday. Why didn't the Mishnah begin with the Chiyuv of Hadlakat Nerot? Right? So there's two different issues over here. I mean, there's the fact that I need to have my Ner burning for my that which I did for the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. And then if I light other things that I intend to use on Shabbos, so then I would also have a chashash shemiyad. I'm going to be mishtar mishloira. So the Mishnah could have more general application, only in terms of.
But the thing is saying it's okay, but lishtamish la'ora, and we're just saying not to do it l'ner. So
l'ner, because a ner can go up.
And la'ora, what that would be?
La'ora is in a pyre.
So what's the problem with it going on?
In a pyre or in the ner?
No, the ner was the problem.
The problem is that you may. There may not be. I mean, that's a question. If you have a ner that's kosher,
right,
and that one is burning properly, then we don't have a chashash of the. Perhaps you'll try to fix this. Okay. Yeah, but then it becomes a shaila. How close? And when, you know, that which is very near the Hanukkah Sugya coming up is exactly the same issue. You have a shamish. How close is the shamish? Another ner in the room, and so on. Some compare the two issues, Yilagabi Shabbos as well. If I have another lamp that I'm using, so then what's the chashash over here? Particularly if the chashash is that we're afraid, as we said, the Rambam brings to make Birsha Mishnayas, if we're afraid because of the Ner Shabbos, we need you to have light. As long as you have a kosher light, it shouldn't be a problem. Because then there won't be a problem of your Shalom Bayis anyway.
Is that the distinction with the Nora? For those who have the case of the menorah,
no, menorah doesn't necessarily mean menorah. Menorah just means a thing which can burn a lot of. Doesn't mean the menorah of Hanukkah, which we'll get into later.
So the distinction is that it's bigger.
Yeah, right. So that you don't have to worry about a particular tilah, but you're burning something in a container that, you know, doesn't matter if it burns up rapidly.
Mm-hmm. Basically, so the difference is between menorah and ner.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Correct. V'lo b'shem en kik. What exactly is a kik? V'lo b'shem en kik. Amar shmu shaltino l'chol nechute yama. Here too I asked all of the people who are what we would call all the jet setters. So they're all over the world. And they told me, O fechad yesh b'karche hayam v'kik shmo. There's a certain bird which is a kik. And it's referring to the oil that's made out of that kik, which is fascinating because the Yerushalmi says that the kik is the ka'at, which is tamei. And then the shaila is when it says that all of the above things can be used for Nerot Hanukkah, and that means you're allowed to use something which is not kosher for Nerot Hanukkah, which has a lot to do with the whole sugya of how much was the Hanukkah menorah meant to be similar to the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash, and anything which is not kosher to eat, Mashke Yisrael, isn't kosher to be used in terms of the Avodah, and that leads to all types of fascinating things. It's just curious, you have this little comment of Shmuel, and it turns out to be fundamental to a lot of different sugyas. Rav Yitzchak, brother of Yehuda, Amar, actually, the kik is mashka de kaza. It's good old cotton oil. Nothing all that exotic. Rish Lakish says, the kik, I mean, just think of that word. Doesn't it remind you of something? It's obviously the kikayon. It's the tree that comes from Yonah's kikayon. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, I actually saw that. It was very popular. I saw that kikayon in Eretz Yisrael. And it's litzuliva dami. It looks like a very large tree, that's suliva, which is a non-fruit bearing tree. Midapashke rabbi, it grows in marshy land. Velpum chanuta madunyate. It's very popular for planting in storefronts, and they water it because it provides a lot of shade, and it also has a nice smell. It sounds like gum trees, you know. And umi partsdui avde mashcha, and what they do is they make from the garinim that come on this tree, they make an oil, which is what we're talking about over here. Uba anpui naichen kol brichi de ma'arava. People who get ill in Eretz Yisrael like to lie between these trees in the shade, and it's apparently the smell of it helps you get better. It sounds like eucalyptus again, which we put into our water, which is interesting because we didn't have eucalyptus at that point. Yeah.
The impression is that this is in Eretz Yisrael and not in Bozo.
All of this
has this kikayon in
that's nice. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him a special wife. Omar Rabba, Ptilot Shamru Chachamim Ein Madlikim Ben B'Shabbat V'Pnei Sha'or Mesachsechet V'Hem. The reason that we don't let you use these Ptilot on Shabbat is because the flame is Mesachsechet. Now, not just two lotions of Mesachsechet. Mesachsechet in the sense of a sakin that is Mesuchsach, which means that it's a rough knife. We use this in Chulin for a knife that is going to cause aspergillosis in it. So what it does is it rubs against the flesh. Rashi brings there v'sichsach the mitzrayim the mitzrayim, which means to create friction. And brought friction between two groups. Here mitzuchsach, which would mean that the flame basically, you know, it sputters. It's not the same all around. You don't have a nice calm flame. But you have a flame that's jagged, that, you know, spurts here and goes down there. Because there it's not, that has a pattern. And Sikhsuk has no pattern. It's just the result of friction. Another Lashon Rashi brings is Misachsechet, is a word that's used for singeing the edges of. So Misachsechet could mean that the flame is not really attached to the ptila. In other words, there's two, it's a little bit, which would be mamish the opposite, because it would mean that the ptila actually causes it to evaporate too rapidly, so that you have the flame popping off the ptila over here, and it's easily put out. Two very totally different meanings in terms of what the basis of the issue would be, and Rashi is only talking about in terms of the time, the word. So that would be the Ptilot, and the Shemanim are because Ashmanim Shamru Chachamim Em Dagibem B'Pnei She'enim Shachin Achar HaPtilah. These are oils that are not drawn well, and because of that, more likely to go out. Bo'imei Abaye Mirab Shmanim Sha'amru Chachamim Ein Madlikim Bem B'Shabbat Ma'u She'itim L'Tochan Shemen Koshu V'Yad Leik. How about if you actually change the surface tension of these other things by putting oil in them? In other words, you're telling me that they don't flow properly. So obviously we've got a problem with their surface tension. They're flammable, but they're not attracted as much to the ptila as they are to themselves, essentially, is what it boils down to. So I put in a little bit of oil in it. I'll break that tension. Now it'll flow properly. So is that okay? Or is this just exera? You can't use these materials. Migazrina Dilmaat Yvatuki Be'inai. Oh no. Shall we make exera then? That meaning that this is an extent exera. The Chacham said, don't use this. Because even if you'll mix with it, you may end up using it on its own. Or is that already taking it too far? Omar Le'im Madliki. No, you can't be Madlik. Why? Because that's the way it is. Appreciate Madlikin, okay? In other words, there's no way to have one without the other. We're going to say in Madlikin. We're going to start, people are going to say, well, I don't know how much. Yeah. Okay, so that we made a statement in Madlikin. That's the Madlikin. That's the point. In Madlikin. So we didn't start making our distinctions with or without.
Was Rabbi's uncle?
Sorry?
Was Rabbi's uncle?
His raiser. The one who raised him.
Not a relative.
Right, he raised him. It says, now this sounds perfectly consistent. You take something that you're not allowed to be madlik, and you wrap it with something that you can be madlik, you can't be madlik. Which is exactly what I just said, really. I mean, it's that once we tell you you can't use it, you can't use it. For some reason now, we ask on Rabbah from the second place, which is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Shel Beit Abba Hayu Korchin Ptila Gabeya Goz Umadliki. Whereas in our family, they would wrap the Ptila on a nut, and then they would be madlik the Ptila. I mean, it says over here, you can. On my lay, first of all, what's your question? On the Motzimun of Shimon Gamliel, instead of asking a question on me from Shimon Gamliel, why aren't you nice to me? And bring me a riot from the Chachamim. Come and say what I say. I mean, it's okay. So Rav Shimon Gamliel argues. So why shouldn't we go with the rabbim anyway? Hello, Gashem, that doesn't bother me, because whenever we bring a Maisa is Rav. He's not saying a theory. He's saying this is the way they actually used to do it. That's the way they used to do it. It means that was Mekubal Lahalaka. That I'm asking you because this is the way it was done. Now, I mean, the first thing that strikes us is that this question is a little bit silly. Because obviously if you're wrapping something on a nut, there's no possible way to light the nut. But clearly the purpose of this is not to have a dover that, as he answers him. So what does he tell him? My love lahadlik, isn't this for lighting? And lo lahakpot. It's actually to float it. Well, I mean, what exactly are we thinking here? As you are ilahakpot. And if we're talking about floating, then why would the Tanakama aser? I mean, my time in the Tanakama? No. This isn't a machlokes. It's kulav shem gamliel. The chisurim echaser. You have to read it like this. Korach davar shemadikim bo, davar shein madikim bo, ein madikim bo. The meaning is you can't be madlik, and that's exactly what Rabbi was saying. But the piece that's missing is this. Bamed varim amurim lahadlik, avalakot mutar. This is only if you're going to actually have something that you're going to be lighting together. But if you're using material to float the wick in the oil so that it doesn't fall into the oil, then it would be okay, and I'll prove it to you by the fact Shuraban Shimon ben Gamliel omer shel beit haba hayu korchin ptila al gabei goes, and everything is fine. So there you go. So it's actually entirely going according to Rab.
In a way, it makes no sense. I mean, an egos can't be a wick at all. It's not
exactly. So that's what I was asking. What's the point?
Bad wicks, they weren't. So it has to be that. I mean,
so, but then, what was the Gemara's kash?
What was the bias kash?
I mean, it's clear we're not talking about something. So again, the shaila is over here. What the issue was? Mm-hmm. Good recovery. Cool, smooth. I like that. You gotta keep it flowing. See, Rich, that's the way to do it. I mean, it's a skill. It's a skill that comes with long practice. So, actually, it's not quite clear whether the issue of the Ptilot is the question of I'm trying to light two materials, getting away with lighting a poor one, because I have some good material that's mixed in it. If that's the case, I mean, then it doesn't really make all that much sense. But there's also an interesting Rambam, which makes more sense in the Gemara, which is that the other material prevents the free flow of the oil in the good material. And it's what creates pressure in the material instead of allowing it to be there. If that's the case, then the egos would be the same thing.
It's in the way.
In other words, so I'm wrapping it on the egos, which I think means the same thing over here as hadlaka. So what it means is that the oil is going to have to go through a ptila that is tight on the egos. That's what meant lahadlik. Because it's only lahakpot. It's not even attached really to the ptila in any kind of way that's going to prevent anything. It's just there to keep it from falling.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So Mamela, I mean, then it already makes sense. You know, it would certainly seem from the Gemara that it was a reason for us to think that Mahadlik was a reasonable assumption. Ask the Gemara, but all of this, is it really true? We said that the chaylev that's mutar, you boil up the chaylev, not allowed to use it, and yet it says that if a person puts oil into it, that you can use it. Now that's exactly the opposite of what Rav was saying. I mean, surely he's not arguing on Rav's psak over here. There's a big difference. Those cases were actually, you're talking about two stages. Remember, we start off with chaylev she'ino mutar. Chelev she'ino mutach doesn't burn well. So then we said, okay, how about if I mahatech it? I refine it, boil it down. So we said, well, you can't do that either. But why can't you do that either? It flows well, again, because we don't want you to come to use regular chelav that's not mutach. Now you're saying, well, how about if it's a chelav mutach, I also put shemen? Now you're going to say, well, we don't want that because you may use the mutach, which if you do, you may use the non-mutach. That's already zero and zero. So there's a big difference in these cases. You see, these, honey, the ones you just brought, the kirbei dagim and so on, they're memshchei b'inai. Truth is, they burn on their own. The only reason we aser them is because we're afraid of the mutach, because maybe you'll use the eno mutach. Okay, so what are you going to do now, make gzeira like gzeira? Mashain came the other cases, which is only one gzeira. Those we're talking about, the fuels in the Mishnah which did not burn properly. So you want to make them burn properly by putting in shemen. That's lo mimshchei b'inayo, that's one gzeira. So gazru rabbanan al chelav mutach mishum chelav she'eino mutach, al kirvei dagim shenimucho mishum kirvei dagim shelo nimucho. And why not just throw it all together in one basket? V'ligzor nami chelav mutach v'kirvei dagim shenimucho shenatan letochan shemen. Why aren't we gozer mixing shemen with the chelav mutach mishum chelav mutach v'kirvei dagim shenimucho shelo nitan letochan shemen? I just explained to you, he gufa gzeira. I mean, that's the point. The use of the shemen mu'utach or kirvei dagim shenimucho is itself a gzeira because we're afraid that you'll use the raw material. So now you're going to say, so if we did that and now we mix it with shemen, so we should make another gzeira. Hananekam and nigzer gzeira l'gzeira. Therefore, we say one step away from the usable the non-usable fuel will be gzeira. Two steps away, we won't be gozer. So either putting in shemen into a non-usable fuel is not going to help you, or refining a non-usable fuel is not going to help you. But putting in shemen into a refined non-usable fuel is already, we're not going to make you gzeira.
And they don't stink?
No, we're going to get to the stink problems later. Tani Rami Bar Chama, Ptilot v'shmanim shamru chachamim ein madikim v'hem b'shabbat, אין מדליקים בהם במקדש. משום שנאמר, להעלות נר תמיד. If you can't use it for Shabbos, you can't use it in the Beit HaMikdash. Because since the Torah was makpid here on להעלות נר תמיד, הוא תני לה והוא אמר לה, he said this over and he explained. Now, what's the pshat from להעלות נר תמיד? The pshat is, כדי שתהיה שלהבת have it, which Tosus pointed out earlier was the Gemara's assumption in bringing a raya from the dinim of the Hadlokas HaMenorah to the dinim of a fireplace. And the idea over here is that you should have the type of flame that doesn't require constant worry. And that's part of the Halot Ner Tamid. So if that's the case, it's two different dinim. In how much it needs to be lit, that it's lit, it's already sufficiently hot that it's going to continue now to sustain its own reaction. But furthermore, it also has to be lit with the type of material that will assure that it's continuing to burn. And that's part of the tamid. In which case, if the Chachamim already defined these shmanim as being unreliable, and for Shabbos purposes, and by the same token, they're unreliable for the tamid of the menorah.
What's the other meaning they would use this for the Beit HaMikdash? It says beferush shemen zayitzach. How can we learn that you don't use any other oil because of Nerot Shabbat? It's the other way around.
It's not just the menorah.
Let's wait. We're going to get to the Hanukkah thing, and then we'll see the connection between all of these sugyas about whether there's connection to the real menorah or to any menorah.
What does it mean? How much it needs to be lit? What is that? I mean, how long it needs to be lit? I don't know, in English,
which one? For what length of tamid means that it's going to continue to burn all the time. And how long it will burn. We'll see that we have a number of different things we have to worry about lighting in the Beit HaMikdash. Tonight, Mivaloi Mechvesei Kohanim Umehaminehem Hayu Matkiim Umehem Matkiim. Now, it says in the Mishnah that they would take the worn out pants of the Kohanim and the belts of the Kohanim, cut them up, and use them as wicks. Now, Lechora, you've got over there, Semer, right? I mean, that's not supposed to be good for lighting. So I thought, why isn't this included in the list of Shmonim and Ptilot? Wait, first of all, what's that referring to? That's referring to the Simchat Beit HaShoeva. Simchat Beit HaShoeva, what shayach to compare that to La'alot Ner Tamid? I mean, that's basically a, first of all, it's a big fire. It's not what we said before. We're not worried about things that are very hot. And there's no mitzvah d'oraisa to make a Simchas Beis HaShoeva. We make the Simchas Beis HaShoeva ourselves. Now, the Shaila is, the assertion that it's a Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which is clear from the Mishnah there, is problematic because the Big Day Kahuna are also Vahano. The Bishlema, I mean, if you're going to tell me that this is a mitzvah, and so on, so I'm using it for further Kadosh purposes. But what right would I have to be Moel in it, essentially? I'm using it for no purpose of the Big Day Kahuna originally, and I'm going to use it because I'm looking for good material to make a petila out of. It doesn't seem to be kosher. What were you going to say?
Even if they're no longer useful.
Well, why not?
Why not?
Since when does the Kedusha is Paka Bifti? Because you're not going to use it. Where did you find that?
Sorry, we only have.
You're getting closer. Yoda knows. Let's think about it. The first Tosfos suggests.
Do
you want to say something?
No, it's no longer a kli. Once it's all torn up, it's no longer a kli.
Well, right, they have to tear it up. And who says that the Kedusha is a din and kalim? So the Re suggests that since the whole Simchat Beit HaShoeva was made for the kavod of a korban, because the Nisuch HaMayim is a korban, so it boils down to utilizing the Big Day Kahuna for korban, which is what it was there in the first place, right? Now, even though it does say that a woman was able to actually be mevareret chitim la'or simchat Beit HaShoeva, which means that people apparently would use it even for other purposes, this doesn't mean that she did. I mean, she could. There's not much light. Maybe in a chinami, or maybe in a chinami there's no, that's because there's no me'ila on it, you know. It's only light. I mean, that's the Diyakon Yerushalmi it brings. But the other question, it's interesting, the Chazon Ish that actually takes the approach of David, but with the one piece that he's missing, which is brilliant, and that is, he tainas that if the Big Day Kahuna are worn out, then they're begeder naaseh mitzvosa.
Okay.
Begeder
what?
Naaseh mitzvatan. But if I have something which has a specific use, when I complete the use, there's no longer any me'ila. So it's like, you know, in other words, it's the carpet that you now did whatever you needed to do with it. So I did whatever I needed to do. I wore it till it wore out. So it's not because someone wore it out. It's that indeed I used it up.
So if you throw up headfish, you'll be able to use it?
Okay, and the other question is, of course, is if it's mixed over here, it's mixed material, right? We're talking about kilayim.
Amen.
What's the problem? The only reason that we answered mixed material of some things that would burn properly and some things that wouldn't burn properly is because we made a gezeira, because maybe you'll come to light from the wrong thing, right? Alone. That's what we said before, but we don't make gezeira in the Beit HaMikdash. There's no shvut in the Beit HaMikdash, there's no gezeira in the Beit HaMikdash. So what's the question? It now will burn al yedei the pishta, even though it won't burn with the tzemer. But so what? It's a mixed material. That's a cute point. Huh? So Tosfos says it could be that since you only have 25% basically of pishta, because all the other materials, the various colored materials are all tzemer based colors. The tcheles are tzemer. The Argaman is tzemer. The tzemer obviously is tzemer. So you've got basically three parts tzemer, one part pishten. Nah, and maybe it's bottle completely. And there we don't consider, it's like there's no pishten at all. So we'd be saying you're actually going to be burning something that is not kosher for the Neretz of Shabbos. Toshma, the Tani Rabba Bar Matna, Bigdei Kunash Abolom, Avkino Tamu Mehem Hayu Osim Ptilod Lemigdash. Ooh. That's the Migdash.
Not for the Sibos Bech.
Yeah, uh-oh. Before we're talking about the Beit HaShoeva, here we're talking about the Migdash, obviously the Migdash. I mean, here we're talking about using Shemen Zayit, as our president pointed out, but you're using the wrong material. I mean, my love, the Kilayim, the Chor we're talking about over here, the material which was made out of Tzemru Pishnah. You said, if I can't use that for Shabbos, I can't use it in the menorah. Okay, before you explain, it doesn't mean the menorah, it means that. It means the Sibbos Beis HaShoeva, but here it says Meferish the menorah. So the Chor is referring to the regular Big Day Kahuna. Look, it's not referring to regular, it's talking about the Big Day Kahuna that is made entirely out of boots, entirely out of pishtin, which is fine for a petila, and therefore there's no problem.
We also talked about how there's a difference between Mishnah Sain and the other Big Day Kahuna by the specifically Mishnah Sain.
Yeah, there's a lot of Kabbalistic issues for the turning of Mishnah Sain, Lechasot Psar Erva into Or, specifically, including the belts being the garden, mm-hmm. essentially, which is to be Mavdo, became Libo Roes Erva. In terms of Ikon Nekrat Elokecha, there's a lot of remuzin about the turning of desire and biology into light. It was very similar to Shemen itself. And that's the meaning of Shemen Zayit, is to make use of stored energy that seems to have become completely bottled from its original mocker of pure light, and restoring it from its biological format right now, which doesn't seem to be light at all, and showing that it contains light in it, and utilizing these ideas, the same thing. It was interesting, the Greeks had the same concept, very much, in terms of the simon of the olive and the or. And they also saw that as being a remez to Chochmah. And it turned out to be the greatest discovery of science so far, essentially.
What? Olive oil?
That fact, that everything contains light. In other words, the giloy, the ultimate giloy of the nature of matter and energy is essentially built into the nature of Chochmah itself. It just took a long time to figure out how fundamental it was to the nature of Chochmah. But
all things are energy?
Yeah, E equals MC squared. It took a long time to figure out. But essentially, it's munach in the concept of turning light. I mean, this is not a nuclear reaction. It means any level of
things into light.
Huh?
Turning things into light.
Yeah, I mean, it's very strange, you must admit, to take a plant, pick a fruit, grind the fruit, and turn it into light. I mean, certainly nobody normal would think of such a thing. I mean, you tell someone that, you're out of your mind. And, if you hadn't actually seen it happen, we got used to the idea. But if you look at it from a primitive point of view, it's impossible. What do you mean? Pick a fruit of light, but that's basically what the whole universe is about. Is that you pick fruits of light? It's an amazing thing. That in the Zohar is ultimately the whole sense of Gan Eden, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted light in roads, and it just blossoms into everything that you see. That's Tzadiko Shalolam. But Tzadik Shalolam is Merumas in Michmasayim and Abel. Tzadik is always in sexual terms. The Tzadik HaShel Olam in Gan Eden turns the planting into life. Okay, but there's a lot of discussion of these issues, particularly in terms of Chanukah, obviously, which is why the next sugya is Chanukah. The whole element of Chanukah is, in Grecian terms, the relationship of sexuality and life, which is why we get to the next piece. Omer Vuna, Pilotu Shvanim Shamru Chachamim Ein Madlikim Behem B'Shabbat Ein Madlikim Behem B'Chanukah. Amazing. So, if you can't light it on Shabbos, you can't light it on Chanukah. And as a matter of fact, can't light it whether it's Shabbos or Chol on Chanukah. That seems a little bit obviously you can't light it. Why would I think you'd light it on Shabbos? Well, now the idea is this. Amar Rava, my taima de Ravuna. Why does Ravuna say you cannot use these psilot? Apparently he holds kafta zakukla. We have a question whether the mitzvah of hadlokas ner chanukah is to see to it that it should burn, or whether the mitzvah is to light it. Now, those are two very different things. If I have a mitzvah to see to it that it's going to burn, then it makes a great deal of sense to say I need to use the materials that are not going to go out. So if you hold kafta zakukla, that if it turns out that the fire that you lit, the light in your ner, goes out, you must go back and relight it, so then you can't use things which you have to be cautious are going to turn off. Furthermore, he clearly must hold that it's okay to use the light of a Chanukah menorah, because otherwise, why would he say on Shabbat that you can't use the menorah? If anyway, you're not allowed to use the light of the menorah. So if I can't use the light of the menorah, so what's wrong if I use the type of materials that I may come, what am I going to do? I may come to make it burn better. I can't use it anyway. Now the obvious question is, if you tell me I can't use it during the week, why would I be able to use it on Shabbat? What extra proof do you have that he must hold that it's mutar l'shtamesh lora? Yod it osur l'shtamesh lora. The same way that on Monday you can't light because maybe it'll go out. On Shabbat you can't light because maybe it'll go out. It makes absolutely no sense what the Gemara is saying.
But then he wouldn't mention
Shabbat. Ah, so Tosus explains. Then he wouldn't have mentioned separately Shabbat. He simply would have said, you can't light menorah of Hanukkah with the things that you can't light on Shabbat. Since he goes out of his way to say whether it's chol or whether, I mean, obviously, what am I, an idiot? It must be that the point is there's an additional reason on Shabbat. So when it comes to Shabbat, you have your old reason. I'm saying, I don't care. Shabbos, obviously, you understand what I mean. You can't do it because maybe you'll read. If you're reading, so you may come to fix it. That's a problem. But there's also an additional issue. In addition, I shouldn't really say read because they can't learn there anyway, but mutar l'shtamesh for some other tzorech, which we didn't answer, a very, very careful usage of the light. Okay, so must be that there's a mutar l'shtamesh on Shabbos. Rav Chista says, madlikin ben b'chol, you can use them during the week, but on Shabbat you cannot. Avalo b'Shabbat. So he obviously holds, kafta en zakukla, we have no problem of relighting. No problem of relighting. So as long as I do a ma'aseh havlaka, it's fine. I mean, I could say that there's a greater chance of them going out. I certainly am not going to say that it's as if I lit something that doesn't burn. Obviously, these things burn. They don't burn as reliably, okay? But I mean, I lit a normal menorah, so I should be able to use it. But on Shabbat, I can't use it. Why? Because mutar l'shtamesh l'ora, apparently it's all right to use the ner of the Chanukah to, I don't know, see what's inside my refrigerator. So if that's the case, we have to worry about the fact that I may be mitake, not because of Chanukah, but because I want to use it. Omer Reb Zera, Omer Reb Masna, V'armel Omer Reb Zera, Omer Rab, P'tilot u'shmani, Shamru Chachamim, Ein Madlikim Be'en B'Shabbat, Madlikim Be'en B'Chanukah, Bein b'chol, bein b'shabbat. Actually, both of these approaches are wrong, says Rav. You can use these ptilot and these shmanim in your Chanukah menorah, whether it's during the week, whether it's on Shabbat. The reason being, Omer b'Yirmiyah, my time at a Rav, kaseva kafta in zakukla. First of all, he holds you needn't relight it, in which case you don't have to worry that maybe you'll be pasha, not realize it went out and not relight it, because you don't have to relight it anyway. And what's the problem on Shabbat? You'll look into the fridge with it? You won't look into the fridge with it because you're not allowed to. Now, they said this over in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah to Abaye, this implication, Om Rabbi Yirmiyah. Abaye did not think that Rabbi Yirmiyah was a good enough source to accept this type of drastic, I mean, wow, This is like major. It's all types of implications, as we'll see. The kafta zakuk la neir the yosef shtam shvara. He didn't accept it. V'lo kibla. But when Ravin it came, he said it over Amra Rabbanu Kamina Bayim Mishmed Rabbi Yochanan. When he heard it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, he was mekabel. Okay. That's the way it is. What a shame, said Abaya. Izakaiga mirta l'shmaitete meikara. If only I had been zeicher, I would have learned this the first time I heard it. Well, what's the difference? First time, second time. I mean, Valgamra, the bottom line is you know it. There's no comparison. Nafkamina legirsa de ankuta. The nafkamina is to learn something when you're young. When you learn it when you're young, then it's really something you remember.
When you're young,
now, when you're young. No, when you're young. You're girsa. Actually, it's two very beautiful Ramazma of Yerba Tzay. Farshim point out, Kasidishim of Farshim, that Izakoi doesn't mean if I stam I would be Zoha. Izakoi means if I was pure. The thing that prevents people from learning truth is that they have resistance to it. They don't like to learn certain things. So I was prejudiced against this.
Not receptive.
So I was prejudiced. And because of that, I wasn't able to accept it from Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, you needed to break through my resistance. I heard it from Rabbi Yochanan, you broke through my resistance. But if I'd been Zach, I wouldn't have had resistance. But by the same token, Yan Kuta, they learn means literally nursing, because a child has no resistance to Yanika. It's very natural, something that you accept from your mother, is it's like a given. So the male, that's the Girsa Yankuta, fits in very much with the Izakoi. Now the question is, you're saying Vikofta Ein Zakukla. Now you're saying if the Chanukah Neiros go out, you do not have to relight them. Braminhi, but we ask from the Braita, it says Mitzvata Bishitishaka Hama Achitikale Regal Menashok. The mitzvah of Hadlakat Ner Chanukah is from Shkiyat Hama until such time as there's no one walking outdoors. Now, what does that mean, such time as? My love, the ikafta, the madlikla. Doesn't that mean, Barnea, that if it went out and there's still people walking outdoors, that you do have to relight it? And you're saying you don't? No. That's not what it means. It could mean the ilo adlik madlik. First of all, it could mean if you didn't do the adlaka at the time, you still can do it until such time as kolorega menashuk. The inami, or it might mean simply l'shiura. How much oil should be in the menorah to burn? From the time of Shkiat HaChama until such time as Shetchala Rego Menashuk. The question of whether it goes out, whether it has to actually burn, is not being addressed here at all. Shetchala Rego Menashuk, meaning what? Shoppers? V'at kama. Amarav Arbachan, Amarav Yochanan. No, Atikal Yorigla de Tarmudai. The Talmudai made it a practice. They were the wood sellers. So basically it was the equivalent of the 7-Eleven. A 7-Eleven once upon a time actually used to be only till 11. When normal stores closed at 5, that was drastic. And they was open till 11 o'clock. But the idea is if you need something at night, there's a store to go to. It was a brilliant idea. It creates its own niche. People pay much more than they would pay in their normal supermarket. So Tarmadai has had a brilliant idea. People usually discover that they need fuel only when they go home and it's cold and dark. So why don't we sell at night? So the regular Tarmadai was people ran out of fuel, they would come running out and buy at the 7-Eleven, which was the Tarmadai. And nowadays it's the Indians who have all of that business. But in those days the people were from Tarmud. Don't tell me. The Pakistanis are pushing out the Indians? No wonder Kashmir is such an issue. I mean, now I understand what's behind it. Fine. So, therefore, we have a shear up until the later, beyond the time that you normally would find shoppers in the shuk. Tan Rabbanan, mitzvat Chanukah, ner ish ubeto, v'hamadrim, ner lekol achad v'achad. The mitzvah of Chanukah is for a person in a home to light a candle every night, And everyone who lives in that home is Yotze with that single candle. Someone who is Mehader does not mean someone who is more makbid on the halacha. Someone Mehader, there's two explanations. Mehader means someone who goes round and round in circles, meaning he tries to figure out the best way to do a mitzvah. Or Mehader means he's Mehadrin es ha-mitzvahs. He makes mitzvahs more beautiful. So he wants to give grain. Of course, that's Hidur mitzvah. There's a specific halacha that we learned from Zekei Levan Ve'yum, in which case kosher lemahadrin would mean that you have a very well-decorated steak.
A beautiful chicken.
A beautiful chicken, exactly. And that's all that it means. So the Mehader would be ner l'kol echad v'echad. He wouldn't be satisfied with a single candle. He would require a candle for each member of his family. The Mehadrin min ha-Mehadrin, those who want to do it in the absolutely most beautiful way, the Shamay Omrim, Yom Rishon Madlik Shmona, start with 8 candles, Mikan ve'elech pochet v'olech, and every day go down 1. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, Yom Rishon Madlik Achat, you start with 1 candle, Mikan ve'elech mosif v'olech, and from that point on, you add a candle. See what it is to live in parallel universes. No child can imagine a Hanukkah that starts with 8 and goes down, right? Now there's children in Beit Shammai universes that are thinking to themselves at this moment in the Daf Yomi and Daf Hechov, that what is it that we should be doing?
Why isn't there, she said you like 8 candles, 8 times.
We'll see what the Svar is. Wait. There's the machlokas in Eretz Yisrael between two Amoraim, Rabbi Yossi bar Ovin and Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida. Echad Amar, time of the Beit Shammai keneged Yamim HaNichnasim. The time of the Beit Hillel keneged Yamim HaYotzim. What we want to do is clearly to show the additional nace on each day. Each day was a greater nace. So therefore, we need to definitely make a hecker of the number of days that have gone by that we should know that the oil is lasting. So Beit Shammai says, look, you start at 8 and you go down and the oil is still there. So you're sensing the very gradual depletion of oil that should have all been gone and now it's going down. So we know the number of days. Whereas Beit Hillel is saying, no, you should count the number of days that have already passed, including the day, Kineged Yamim Hayotim. That's one explanation of Machloket. V'chad Amar, the other man, the Omar, said, actually has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the way the Torah showed us to act on Sukkot. That Beit Shammai says, the Poreya Chag, where you have 70 total korbanot, you start off with your 14, and you work your way down every day. Well, and therefore here too, you should start off at 8 and work your way down. Was time of the Beit Hillel, the Malim, the Kodesh Vein Moritim. Beit Hillel's reasoning is, you're always supposed to go up. You're not supposed to go down when it comes in terms of showing the value of a Dover Shel Kedusha. There's a tremendous nafkamina, by the way, according to these two approaches. The nafkamina would be, if you only have, let's say on the third night, you only have 2 candles. So if the din is keneged Poreya Chag, if the din is keneged the Yamim Hayotzim, there's no point in lighting 2. That's not true. If the din is Malim Bekodesh V'lo Moridin, if yesterday I lit 2, I can't lit 1, light 1 today. I still have to light 2. I mean, I can't be Moser because I don't have to be Moser. But I certainly shouldn't light only 1. It doesn't make any sense. Because mamash would be no gear very much how I explain the meaning. I can't go down. Ain't morated. It's not trying to be morated. Omar Rabba Barbachon Rav Yochanan. Shnei zikenim hayu b'tzidon. Echad asak Beit Shammai. Echad asak Divrei Beit Hillel. Now there were 2 elders. One of whom did like Beit Shammai. One of whom did like Beit Hillel. Zenotein ta'am l'dvarav keneged Poreya Achag. One of them said, the reason I'm doing it this way, like Beit Shammai, is because of the Poreya Chag. V'zeh notein ta'am l'dvarav, The Ma'alim B'Kodesh, Vein Moridin. The one who said that he's going like Beit Hillel is to tell me that it was Ma'alim B'Kodesh. And what precisely would be the point of mentioning this Bichlal? Fine. Okay, it's interesting. The problem is that the Rif brings it. The Rif never brings stories. He only brings the halacha. Why would he bring this particular thing to halacha? The Gra has an incredible deal from here. The truth is, let us think about the case that we had before about the Mahadrim and the Mahadrim. The Re in Tosfos says that the Machlokas Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai can only be referring to Ner Ish Ubeito. Famous Machloket, the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, is the Machloket, the Re and the Rambah. So the question is this. If I'm trying to be Mahader by showing now the number of people that I have in my house, so if you're telling me that, says the Re, I lose track. What am I going to do? I'm going to be Mosif. People will say, oh, there's more people in the house. I'm not making any simon at all. The guy is lighting four candles. So I walk, must be the fourth day of Hanukkah. No, it's not. It's four people in his house, and he's lighting there. He's doing the Mahadran. Therefore, says the Re, you can't do that Mahadran, Mina Mahadran, on the first Mahadran. You can make up your mind which one you want, but it certainly makes no sense to tell me the number of days. Tainas the Gra, the reason the Rif brings the halacha is to tell you that the Ma'alim B'Kodesh, which is not Kineged the Yomim, is to paskin against the Re. Because if I'm trying to show you the number of days, then the Re has a good time. But if I'm only trying to be Mosif, because I do more today than I did yesterday, because I'm being Ma'alim B'Kodesh, what's not Kamina? So add today, do more, Ma'alim B'Kodesh. So in other words, it's very nogea what the time is. That's theoretical. Therefore, he says, that's the marker, the Rif is paskening, the way the Ramah paskening, is the way the Rambam was going. But these things are additive. They're not either or, like the Rif is saying, like the Torah is saying. This became now the Machlokas, the Sephardim and Ashkenazim, in terms of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, whether it makes sense to light each person in the house the number of days as well.
Sephardim, no? Mm-hmm.
That's where the Ripashka is over here in the Shulchan Aruch.
So we all light Mahadrim and Mahadrim.
According to the Ramah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are the Shnei Zekenim. Tana Rabbanan. Ner Chanukah mitzvah la'anichah petach beto mibachutz. The mitzvah is to put the Ner Chanukah on the doorway of your home, right outside the door. V'im haya dar ba'aliyah, if you live in a second story, then menichah dechalonas mukhalav shutarabim, put it in a window so that people could see it from shutarabim. U'b'sha'at ha'sakana menichah shulchano v'dayo. When the time of the sakana came, in which there would that be, doesn't suggest that's the type of the chaverim. It didn't allow you to light candles. We had that before, brachos. So they would go around. You weren't allowed to light on certain days except for the honor of the church. Obviously, don't advertise the fact that you have a menorah in your window. You leave it on your table, and that would be sufficient. Which became the minhag because of the Christians, who would identify Jewish homes, of course. So the Re says, Bismanenu, the shear of being madlit, which is only ad de kol regel menashuk, no longer applies. Because to us, the pirsumei nisa anyway is only to b'nei bayit, because we light indoors. And therefore, this Gemara no longer defines to us until what time you should do the advoka. So it's already this time, they weren't being madlit outdoors. So there's a machlokas. So therefore, what's the difference what time it is? As long as the people in the house are up, then light. Because the persimmonis is not for outdoors any longer, it's only for you. There's a very important machlokas here, which of course is nogea all the time. Rashi and Tosfos, what does al petach beito mean? If you live in a chatzer, your house opens into a chatzer, you put the ner chanukah on the door of your house in the chatzer, nobody sees it. Unless there's other people in the chatzer. So does it mean that you put it in the door of the chatzar to the Rishat HaRabim, or does it mean you put it in the door of your home to the Bnei HaChatzar? Tosfos says, I will prove to you that it means the Rishat HaRabim, because it says that if you've got a kli that has two ptilot in it, you can use it now for two different people. How you use it for two different people, if it's the door of the house to the chatzar, then on one it's on the left-hand side, and on one it's on the right-hand side, so they wouldn't be using it properly, because the chanuk menorah is supposed to be on your left-hand side. Therefore, it must be that everybody puts it on the single door, which is from the chatzar out the Rishat HaRabim, so we're all using it together.
Isn't that a better ride? We have a gemara later on about a camel going by, which is full of pishtan and ketzer.
But that's a chanut, where there isn't any chatzar.
Except unless it's at Ner Chanukah.
Yeah, but it's a chanut, where there isn't a chatzar. I mean, everybody's motive, that is the okay, interesting anyway. B'shat ha-sakana menichah shukhan ha-madai. Omer Rava, tzorech nerachet lihishtamesh la'ora. You've got to have an additional candle there in order to make certain, and that's what we call the shamish. The iika medura lo tzorech. However, if you have a fireplace going, then there's not a problem. The adam chashuvu, of course, if you're an adam chashuvu, wouldn't use the fireplace for your light, but would have a lamp, then afagav v'ika medura, tzorech nerachet. Shall we wait for the mace tomorrow? We better. We had a long day today, and it's 1 hour and 6 minutes, and that's way beyond our time. And we started a little bit before. So.
Just like the Sherry Kirsch's word, one near Ishu Beso, because the gula came from one person's household, therefore it's near Ishu Beso.
Lovely.
Palestinian to run.
Palestinian to? Run.